Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 30th of May, recording at 9:27 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. As far as stock markets are concerned, it's pretty well on the minus side. Modest declines in Asia, big declines, 2% plus in the European markets, and pretty big declines in the US market as well. Government bonds. This is one of the first days that government bonds did not respond to a sharp sell-off in the stock markets. They closed with the losses in here today. Inflation concerns were clearly a factor. And in currencies, a weak US dollar here, particularly against the Europeans, it looks like. I haven't checked through them all, but those are the Europeans appear to be the main beneficiaries against the dollar in here today. And in metals with dollar weak had very strong gains until the contagion set in from the stock market sell-off, and then it pared back those gains quite a bit among the precious metals. Some of these industrial metals down a bit on the day. Oil again had strong gains, but then those were pared back also by the stock market sell-off. Okay, where are we? What's going on here? Well, just in case there were any doubts that the rally in stock markets that commenced towards the end of last week was the beginning of one of those moves straight on back up through the highs, as some people have been forecasting and hoping. I think that, and certainly not my view, as you know, my view is that this is a medium-term correction, that the best we're going to see on the upside is right-hand extension ranging activity, and it would be fairly choppy, but the major risks are to the downside. And certainly today is a reality check here for people who were beginning to feel, well, that was pretty much it. The selling had been completed and the markets could go on back up. And I think the action that we've seen in Europe and the US today will be a body blow in terms of what happens in Asia. At least on the openings tomorrow. So the medium-term correction still very much underway. I don't think it's going to be more than a correction, but and it's the correction that I've long forecast for the second and third quarters of this year. But by its very nature, a medium-term correction, that means that it will be considerably sharper and almost certainly longer than the very small, brief corrections, little shakeouts, consolidations that we saw several following the recovery in stock markets commencing in March 2003. Remember, 2003 was pretty strong. In the beginning of 2004, there were there was a correction, and then we had three or four more during the subsequent 2 years up to present. But this is the medium-term correction, and therefore it will look to many like a bear market. And I don't want to get involved in semantics, but I see no reason to suspect, as I say, more than a sell-off that I suspect will be sharper, as I've already said, than any of the others that we've seen since the March 2003 lows, but will be over before the end of October and perhaps sooner, depending on how it unfolds. The big factors that will be influencing investors in here, I suspect, will be the ones that we've seen before. It will be resources prices, mainly oil in terms of the most important of those, oil and other forms of energy costs. And don't forget, we're approaching a hurricane season, the height of which I think we really get into in sort of in July, but they could start as as early as June. People will also be watching interest rates very closely, and they will also be what else are they going to be watching? I mentioned interest rates. Oh, they'll be watching the US dollar. That'll obviously be a factor, and they'll be making estimates regarding GDP growth. But weak dollar can weigh on markets, particularly if it looks like it's getting out of control. That hasn't happened yet. Fears of rising interest rates, fears of inflation, and the evidence of which would be gains in commodity prices. The same factors that have been worrying people all along, and will continue to do so, I suspect, for a while longer. So one needs to be a little bit careful in this environment. And if that all sounds fairly worrying and stressful, I do maintain that the correction that is underway will lead to an absolutely superb buying opportunity, and that we'll probably have quite a good environment. I expect quite a good environment for the fourth quarter of this year, and I don't see why that shouldn't run pretty well through 2007 and 2008. And with a little luck, we might not see anything more serious than some relatively short-term corrections, such as the ones we have seen over the previous 3 years up until this point. Okay, moving on to government bonds. I don't like this. I don't like this sector. I wouldn't rule out further firmness, though, in the long-dated issues this side of an important low in global stock markets. But this is not an area where I want to be invested. It's an area where I would welcome further rallies as a shorting opportunity, and I suspect I'll see those. In terms of currencies, I think the dollar is just ranging here prior to going down a little lower. Certainly, a sharp sell-off in stock markets, if it had any influence on the currency markets, my hunch is that it might actually bolster the US dollar a little bit, as we have seen. I had said that earlier in the month, and we've seen that in the last few weeks, ranging with a dollar, say firmer, holding its ground. Now, one of the reasons for that is the cascade effect, which caused pretty well every trend that existed, every clear trend to be checked, and a number of them thrown into some form of reaction or reversal. Just as people became cautious, closed out a number of positions, so that firmed the dollar because a number of people were quite short of the dollar, and the general volatility that we were seeing elsewhere encouraged them to tighten up stops or to stand aside, take some of those profits to help support the US dollar. Now, if stock markets are quite weak, and they will be from time to time, that can act as a bit of a tailwind for the dollar. It may only slow the decline, but the logic behind that would be that first Americans were understandably and rightly among the biggest investors in overseas markets. And when people take fright, they start to cash up and bring money home. And whatever you feel about the medium or longer term, that home feels a bit safer. So people convert into the currency that they eat in other words. And I think we've certainly seen some of that activity. And I think that's helped to be behind Sterling's recent firmness here as well. Now, I do think, though, that, as you know, that the dollar is on its way down lower, and it's going to get back down to those historic lows that we saw in the mid 1990s. But before that, it gets down to the low that we saw. I think it was back in November 2000 and 2004. Okay, as far as the resources are concerned, I maintain this is a very big secular bull market, but we did see a number of the metal prices run ahead too quickly, and they are quite possibly in medium-term corrections, but I don't think that the commodity bull market is anywhere near over, and I won't repeat all the reasons for that, but suffice it to say that they fall entirely within the supply and elasticity meets rising demand demand category. And the only thing I feel that could seriously, really seriously interrupt this resources bull market would be a severe global recession. And right now we have the global economy synchronized in a period of GDP growth and expansion, and sharp stock market sell-off would dent that. It would lead to some slowdown, but not necessarily recession. Overall, I'm reasonably optimistic about global growth, certainly on a long-term basis, because so many economies have gotten their economic act together. So many governments, so many countries have done this. And as I've said before, it was worth point perhaps worth repeating in here that when Francis Fukuyama, I remember the Japanese American who wrote a book a number of years ago called The End of History. Well, that he wrote that after the collapse of the Soviet Union, and the basic premise was that democracy had won, thus the end of history. There wouldn't be any other serious attempts at other forms of government. Well, that I always thought that was a bit naive, and you see there are plenty of totalitarian states around, and I think that will continue for a very, very long time. I think what he should have written about, I feel the end of history was involved the triumph of the capitalist system, and that's not a political comment, it's a straight economic comment. But that's the only one that really works. And we saw Deng's conversion in China back in 1997 to be rich as glorious. And subsequently, economies all around the world have been scrambling over each other to adopt capitalist economic systems and to leave most things to market forces. Now, you still have command economies in China. And Vietnam and a number of other countries around the world, but they're still capitalistic systems rather than socialist economic models or the old style Soviet communist economic models. And we're really in a situation where the remarkable fact that previously was that due to the Soviet Union's sphere of influence and all that whole long disastrous Mao era for China, that the astonishing thing, I think, 100 years from now and longer, people will look back on the 20th century and say, how could so many countries have been so backward economically and taken so long to figure out what actually worked? Well, that's certainly different in this decade, and it started really before the new millennium. And so I beg your pardon, capitalism, I repeat that, capitalism here has certainly triumphed. Therefore, all of these countries are getting their economic acts together, and once they start to do that, those that are starting from a very low base grow very, very rapidly indeed. Thus, my long-term preference for the emerging markets over the developed country markets. Then, of course, the demand for the resources goes up enormously, and that's coming off what had been a 2021-year bear market in resources, so it's been difficult to increase the supply, and we have unprecedented global demand. And with so many countries with large populations now, with the help of globalization and technology, starting to grow very, very rapidly indeed, that's a very, very positive story for global growth generally and for asset appreciation in terms of stock markets, and in terms of property, in terms of resources, in terms of collectibles. So yes, you guessed it, it's also an inflationary environment overall. And the only thing that I could see seriously interrupting this process would be an ecological disaster of biblical proportions, and that is a risk. It's a higher risk than one would like to think. Global warming and all that. And the other serious risk, and it's just gone right out of my head, which isn't very clever, but the ecological disaster, I think, is the big one. I knew the other one would be resources wars, and hopefully we're obviously already having a lot of competition for scarce resources. Hopefully that doesn't turn into shooting wars, and there is some risk there. But I think it would take either serious conflict over resources, or this global ecological disaster to seriously disrupt what I think is certainly has the potential to be one of the most dynamic and productive growth phases that we've ever seen for the global economy. And as I've already said, that would be yes, it would be somewhat inflationary, but it would also mean very strong and rapid growth. And try to put that inflation in perspective, just because I could buy a Coca-Cola for a nickel when I was 20. I was living in the US at the time, and it costs, I have no idea what it costs because I don't drink the stuff anymore, but certainly a good deal more. And that doesn't mean that I find it more difficult to pay for it, because during a period of good global GDP growth, one's capacity to earn is so much more. But I certainly think we will see an inflationary environment. Thus, the fuller money themes of resources, gold and its proxies, and emerging markets as being better than developed country markets, but some developed country markets which are strong in resources, or that were in long secular bear markets, such as Japan and South Korea, do exceptionally well against that background as well. And I think that's a wrap, folks. So bring on tomorrow, and I think it will certainly open, at any rate, as far as the Asian region is concerned, with some additional weakness in stock markets. All the best.